You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Keep doing that.
Keep talking like that?
Yep.
Keep doing Everything that. Seems okay?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
All right. A little bit more. Just keep talking. blah, blah, blah.
Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas. And in the studio with me today is a good friend of the local music scene and the local art scene, Mr. Matt. Matt, say your full name.
Matt Simone.
I've heard Simone and I've heard Simone or Simone A.
It technically has the long E. Yeah, it's Italian. So
Simone. You're telling me that is correct?
Yes.
Give me the correct pronunciation.
Okay. Matt Simone.
Simone. So that is it.
And technically, my father wanted to name me Anthony. And my mother was no way because everybody will call him Tony Simone.
Oh, that's true. They will call you that.
Oh, yeah. It would have been brutal.
I'm sure we have Italians here in Kentucky, but I have a feeling that maybe you're not originally from Kentucky.
No, originally I'm from New York. I lived there till about 99, and I moved in Bowling Green from 99, and I've been here since then, 1999.
So you were born in New York?
Yes, Beacon, New York. It's a little bit outside of New York City there, maybe about 50 miles outside the city, give or take.
Okay.
And now it's pretty much a suburb. It's become Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Big art scene there, and everything happened after I left, of course, but that's the way it goes.
The cool thing is you're not just mixed in with everybody else.
Right.
Yeah, you're down here doing your thing, and I've told you this many times, one of these days somebody's going to go, it's got to, man. You're way too talented.
You've been a big fan for a while, Tommy. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Well, you know.
And I think everybody appreciates what you do for them.
Well, okay, look, this is not about me.
We want to know about Tommy sometimes.
Hey, you've got a shirt on with one of your designs. Caught that.
I did.
That's cool.
Actually, I brought one for you. Not a t-shirt.
Oh, man, did you really bring this for me?
This is a print we did over at the A-Frame.
This is super nice. Now, when we post this, I will be sure and take a photo of this so we can post it with the interview.
Oh, cool, cool.
You really giving this to me?
Yeah, that's what I brought it for.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I do have a few of your pieces at the house. But anyway, let's get back talking about
back
you.
Back to me, sorry.
You're from New York.
From New York.
Born in New York, raised in New York.
Yeah.
Okay, now here's the big question. How in the hell did you get here?
Yeah, that's everybody's big question.
Yeah.
My father worked for General Motors, and that plant closed. It was in Tarrytown, New York, and it was for whatever reason they closed it. And he was just short of retirement. Shopped around. He left early, shopped around, found somewhere he kind of liked, picked Bowling Green, finished his term there. And he was down here quite a while before I was, a few years, and I was in school at the time, going to school in New York City. I went to FIT. It's a big art school in New York.
FIT stands for?
It stands for Fashion Institute of Technology. Originally, it was a big fashion school, but now it's all art, graphic design, illustration.
Yeah.
Still fashion, too, but it's a full-on art school now. My dad moved down first, and then I went to art school, and then the rest of my family came down. They were up in New York still trying to sell the house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Things situated. So my dad was on his own down here for a little while.
Yeah.
And another guy from Tarrytown, New York, came down here with him. So
sure.
I think they lived together for a while. And then my mom and my brothers came down. And I have another brother, two brothers. One's here and one's in New York. One moved back to New York. But when I finished school, I was kind of broke and tight and said, I'm down here for a while. And
we all go through that once in a while.
Yeah. Been here since.
Yeah. So you were like, they're like, hey, we're down here. You're welcome to come down.
Yeah,
and, you know, we'll hook you up best we can, do what we can for you, family.
Living the student life for a while.
Yeah.
You know how that is. And
so, I mean, you were done with school when you moved down here, right?
Yeah, just finished the school and just the situation. It was best to come down here for a bit. Been here since.
I don't want to get too much into your personal business.
Oh,
and if there's anything we talk about you don't want to talk about, you can let me know.
Sure, sure.
Have you ever been married? Do you have any children?
No kids, never been married.
Okay.
No.
So you're just one of those dudes, man.
Yeah.
Because you make your own plans.
That's right.
You go where you want to go, do what you want to do.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
You had a talent.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to school to kind of hone that, kind of get it down a little bit of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And when you went to, what was it again?
FIT.
FIT, you were thinking, maybe I can get this down and maybe this will turn into, as you were saying, maybe some layout design, maybe some album artwork, stuff like that.
Right.
Went to school, got out of school, hung out up there for a little bit. Yeah. Things were kind of like, so you came down here.
Well, it's a tough field just because, you know, it's not something you can just go step out and get a job in. You know, you really have to put yourself out there and, you know.
Something has to pop and somebody had the right person has to see it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't just something you could step right into and get a job. So that's the main reason for moving down here.
So when you came down here, what was that like when you first got to Bowling Green? You were like, okay, here I am. I've got some talent. in the art field. I'm in a new place, totally different than New York.
Yeah.
Hanging out with a bunch of these country folk.
Yeah. It was a bit of a culture shock a little bit, but, you know, it was not, you know, not in a bad way, but, you know, it's definitely a big turnaround for sure. But, you know, like Nashville's close and Louisville's close.
Sure. Yeah.
So you got options. It's not, you know, as bad as it seems.
Right. So your first job.
I met you.
Your very first. How long have we known each other now?
Since The Great Escape. It's got to be early 2000. So
yeah. So I've almost
15, 16 years,
I've
maybe even more.
Almost known you as long as you've been here.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. It's probably just that first year or two because I worked at Hobby Lobby first. When
Lobby was your very first job.
Yeah. Because I was there about late 99. 2000, I was there. And I think in 2001, I started at The Great Escape. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking 2001 or two, I probably met you through Matt, and you are always coming in there.
Wow.
And truthfully, I mean, through a few degrees of separation, I probably met almost everybody I know through The Great Escape, you know?
Well,
I mean, Josh Hines,
I'm
good friends with still to this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the bands and Sam Dodge and all those guys, Matt Pfeffercorn and Emily, and we still all get together. Yeah. We still do stuff together.
Well, you're friends with the whole Hines family, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Smitty and Stephanie. Yeah. And, you know, I went out for Stephanie's wedding last summer with Josh to California.
How cool was that?
Yeah. She's got a maid out there. She's, it's called Truckee. A small town.
I know. I've been through there.
You have?
Yeah. Truckee is actually, isn't that where they had the, it's right around in there where the issue with the family went over the mountain and had to eat themselves?
I think that's it. Yeah. And it's right near Lake Tahoe.
Was
about
it
an
Connor
hour away.
Family? Is that right?
I think that's right. I think that is right.
Golly.
That didn't come up at her wedding. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's not really something. But I've been, I was in Truckee 2015. I was out in Reno.
Yeah.
We took a little drive down through there, so I've been to Truckee.
Wow.
Now, let's go back to your early days. So, your first job, you say, was at Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
What was that first, I have an opportunity to do something artistic and maybe make some money?
Let's see.
When you first got here.
Actually, Josh Hines hired me for his first commission. He wanted something for his girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
That's how I really first met and started talking to Josh. Mm-hmm. I'd seen him at The Great Escape, like, as a customer, being a customer and going in there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know him that well, but we talked a few minutes like we weren't in there. And that's the first one. He came and found me at Hobby Lobby. He reached out and wanted a gift for his girlfriend. And,
so somehow he found out that you were artistic.
Yeah, I'm sure it just came up in conversation, us talking or whatever, you know. And I, you know, did something for him and we became friends. And probably wasn't too long after that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Do you remember Erica Matthews that used to work at The Great Escape?
Was she the one with black hair?
No, it was more
thin,
of a
thin little girl with black hair.
No.
Real sweet.
She was a nice, sweet girl, but she had glasses, brown hair.
Okay.
She left. I basically replaced her.
Yeah.
She was leaving and they called me, her and Matt basically, and offered me the job. And I was at Hobby Lobby still and I was like, yeah, sure. And went over there.
Go hang out with music and comic books.
Yeah, it was
and
a lot more
that.
Fun than, yeah. Didn't work in the Hobby Lobby. Unfortunately, I'm back there again, but it pays the bills.
Well, it pays the bills, exactly. And, you know, it keeps you around
art a
little.
Work in the art department. Yeah,
a little bit.
So it gets you a discount and stuff, and so it works off.
Well, so there's always a silver lining.
Sure.
Sometimes you have to look a little bit, but it's there.
Exactly.
So that was the first thing you did when you got here to BG, a little word of mouth. Hey, this guy's got some talent. Josh says, hey, man, can you do this thing for me? And how did it kind of keep going from that? Because, I mean, that's been a lot of years.
Yeah.
But folks kind of know you, and you have a particular style.
Yeah. Josh, really, he got me going more than anybody, because once he started playing music on his own, I think he was in Pimp Slap at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do anything for Pimp Slap, but I think they were on their way sort of fizzling out maybe that first year or so that I was there. And then he started doing some stuff on his own, which was Chess Rockwell, the first Chess Rockwell CD. He did everything himself. It was just singing and acoustic guitar. He did by himself, but he just self put it out himself. And
didn't you do some artwork for Chess Rockwell?
Asked me to do the artwork for it. And I was like, of course. And did it for him and did every one since for him.
Yeah.
I think it's been about 6 or 7. I think they put out one little EP somewhere that I didn't do, but... Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they haven't done anything in a while, but he's been discussing it and wanting to get back together and finish this album, I guess they were working on when they started slowing down.
Well, he's got like 47 bands.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think I did about 7 or 8 covers for them.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody really started to see my stuff. And, you know, a lot of it in those days was just commissions. I did paintings for people or didn't do too many album covers yet. I did one for Slander at one time because I was friends with John Fox. Mm-hmm. And mostly the Chess Rockwell ones. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of stuff through The Great Escape, posters and flyers, stuff for them. And that's where I met Jim and Connie. Jim ended up making some posters for me whenever I had art shows at the Capitol.
Yeah.
So that's probably where my first was at the Capitol Arts Center downtown.
Well, Sideshow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of a graffiti thing I used to do. And that's where that name came from. Kind of an alternative name, I guess.
Well, instead you did some stuff with Print Mafia.
Yep.
Didn't you maybe design some posters and they printed them or like that?
Jim, whenever I had an art show at the Capitol or anywhere else in town, I got together with Jim Madison. And we worked out a poster together. So we did three together. Mm-hmm. And then recently we actually did a Melvin's poster together. So that was pretty fun.
Oh, the ones for the recent show down in Nashville?
Yeah. Did we get you one of those?
No, but that's okay.
I can get you one.
I don't have to have everything, man.
Yeah, you do. I know the Starchives. Come on.
I've got it's starting to get kind of crazy, but that's okay.
I think okay. We all have that problem, collectors.
Yeah, but it's also good to hand some of that off to the Kentucky Museum from time to time.
I've seen you've been doing that lately. Well, you know, some of your recordings here.
Different stuff. You know, I'm thinking one of these days somebody's actually going to be interested in some of
this. Tommy Starr is a legend.
Yeah, now they're like, well, I don't know, that guy. But then one of these days they'll be like, oh, but wait a minute, he talked to this part. Well, it could be like today.
Could be.
Talking to you. Because it's going to happen, brother. You're going to be like rich and famous and on an island.
How many bands have you interviewed? Yeah. That'd be great.
So you did some album cover stuff. You've had a few shows in the area.
Yeah.
What has gone on show-wise? I know you've done some here locally. Have you kind of spread out and done some outside of this area? It seems like you told me one time you've had a few in New York.
Yeah, I had some in my hometown in New York. I think I've had about three up there. Mm-hmm. One was a record. Well, the first two were in a tattoo parlor, art gallery, right in my hometown, right on Main Street. Those went over pretty well. You know, it was fun because, you know, I was back in hometown and some people got to see, you know, what I was doing and, you know, see old people. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. And actually sold probably my most expensive piece up there in one time. So that was good, you know.
What was that image? Do you remember? Of course you remember what it was.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird take on like a Little Red Riding Hood, actually. Let's see. A friend of mine actually bought it, which kind of surprised me. Mm-hmm. But it was set up horizontally. It was real short height-wise, but real wide long-wise. But it was like a cartoony wolf going after the girl in the woods, you know.
Kind of like a panoramic type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have a website somewhere where folks can go and look at your artwork?
Right now, it's mostly Facebook. I have a lot of stuff on my Facebook. There's an album on my Facebook page, Matt Simone. Mm-hmm. You can find me in Bowling Green here.
And, Matt Simone, don't forget the E.
Yeah, with a long E.
Yeah.
And there's probably, 70, 80 paintings on there maybe.
Yeah.
But you can scroll through that stuff.
Now, is this stuff that's for sale, or this is stuff?
Mostly just stuff I've done in the past. Yeah, most of it's either gone or stuff I've done for bands or posters or stuff like that. So it's all stuff that's come and gone. I might have a few of them, but a lot of them are gone now. I have a few collectors in town that have some stuff.
Well, I've got a few. I don't have a lot, but I've got three or four, but they're usually smaller pieces, kind of like this really nice one you brought me today.
I'll have to get you a big one. I think I owed you one from a long conversation a long time ago.
I don't know about that. But we'll have to. But what I'm curious about as an artist, how does this all work? Like somebody goes, do they go, hey man, we've got a week open or a month open or whatever at our gallery. Would you be interested in showing? How does that work?
Yeah, an official gallery usually they'll make a schedule at some period during the year. You know, I don't know, end of the year's coming now. So maybe at the beginning of each year, they'll sort of schedule out maybe the whole year or at least, you know, 6 months. Because usually you have to give an artist some time. Mm-hmm. Let's use Jim Madison as an example.
Okay.
The Ellis Walker Gallery. Got in touch with him and I think Matt Tullis. Do you know Matt Tullis?
Absolutely.
He's a professor up at Western.
He was one of my instructors at one time.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And they're having a show together at Ellis Walker, but Jim's known about it for about a year. Mm-hmm. Every time I've seen him, we've kind of talked about it on and on.
Sure.
So I'm thinking they schedule out a year, you know, so-and-so gets this month, so-and-so gets this month.
They call you up, they go, Matt, we want to set up an exhibition with you, say like 6 months from now. When they go, hey, are you interested in doing this? Let's say you go, absolutely, that'd be great.
Sure.
Do they ask you, we want fresh work, or do it, you know, whatever you bring, You know, what are they looking for and what do you want to show them? Do you want to show them, well, I've got 20 pieces, I can just throw them up and that's it? Or you go, well, I want to do that because they're here, but also want to get to some new work.
More than likely, every situation is going to be a little different, but if they're at a point, if you're at a point where they're calling you, they obviously know what you do, but more than likely they have an open schedule, an open time to submit, or you could probably submit any time during the year. And if they're interested, you know, they'll schedule something either the next year or something to set you up. But usually they want to see what your most recent work is. So they know, have an idea what it looks like. And, you know, and then from there, usually it's pretty open because you are the artist, you need to do what you want to do. So they at least want to see your most recent work, so they kind of know where you're at, what you're doing. You know, they don't want to see something from 10 years ago, usually, because, you know, obviously you should have grown and changed and start be doing something different by now, 10 years ago. So they would see maybe, say, 5 to 10 works, maybe a little more if they want something extra, if they're unsure.
Yeah.
And then they would set you up a time during the year, say, you know, October of next year, you're going to have a show with us.
Yeah.
And depending on the size of the gallery, what they want, if you're going to share it with somebody else, like Jim and Matt are obviously doing the show together. So there's two of them now. So you have to kind of figure out the space you're going to fill and how much you have to do and sizes and prices. You know, you do all that a little bit together. You should, you know, depending where you are.
Well, let me ask you that question that probably you've been asked before. What inspires you? Like, are you just sitting there watching TV and something comes to mind and you go, oh, I got to go see about this, or...
Yeah, it can. It's weird. It, you know, it can hit you anywhere, you know. A lot of times music, a line from music, and, you know, a lyric from a, or an old photograph, or, you know, it can come anytime. Or like you said, you can just be walking down the street and something hits you, you know, and it, you know, it does. It happens that way. It's just, you have no idea. And, you know, the hardest part is, you know, getting to drive and going home and, you know, doing it and staying with it.
So it's kind of like
late nights while you have to get up for work and, you know, things like that. But
it's like a songwriter where they get a line and they wake up in the middle of the night and they have to grab a pad and write. It's kind of like that.
That's pretty much how it works, you know. Or unless you're Stephen King, you know, where do you get your ideas from? The brain of a 6-year-old child in a jar on my desk.
Pretty crazy stuff there. But, so do you have like a set time where you try to sit and work? Do you go every Sunday from 4 to 6, I want to sit down and do something?
No, I don't. I'm terrible about that. It usually ends up being, you know, late at night when, you know, you're not getting any phone calls or, you know,
things are just
interruptions, but
you start doodling.
I've always been kind of a night person. If I didn't have to be at work in the morning, I'd probably stay up all night and sleep, you know, through the morning. But I've always been kind of a night person, but I always end up working, it seems, later at night.
Do you have a lot of ready work, stuff that's done right now sitting around your place?
No, not really. I'm kind of bad about that. A lot of the work I do ends up being commissions. Like, say you came up to me and I wanted this, and you wanted this, and I would do it for you. And then there it goes. So it's gone. I do have some pieces, obviously, left over from shows or stuff I did for myself personally, but that pile has shrunken quite a bit, so it's not a whole lot. I mean, I could probably...
But that's good, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's always good.
Yeah.
But you do hear of artists that are working constantly and have mountains of stuff everywhere, and you know, but that's never kind of been me. It seems lately it's just a time issue, and it seems like I've always got a little something to do for somebody, you know, whether it's a commission here or a poster and t-shirt at the A-frame or something like that. So
I think this is probably a lot of artists probably run across this. You do something and you go, you know what, I can't let this go, I really like this.
I do have a few of those around the house. I've shown them, but I've probably put a couple of them up for sale, but I'll usually throw a crazy price on those, and knowing that most people probably aren't going to.
Yeah, that's for sale. That's $5,000.
That kind of thing. I never put a $5,000 one on there, but but I do have a few of those so that I'd like to keep for myself.
So you've got a couple of favorites that, as far as you know, they're going to be with you until somebody just decides, I must have it.
Unless somebody throws that $5,000. But, but there's always a little stuff like that, something a little personal. Or, but like when I do stuff for Josh, I usually end up letting him keep them, and he's got most of them.
Yeah,
I think I kept one.
Yeah,
That classic, the guy and the girl with the headphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
you have that.
I gave it to him for a while, and you know, it was kind of personal for me, and I gave him some others and got that one back from him. He was cool about it. He was like, "Yeah, I'll give it back to you." And you know, but like I never charge him anything when I do.
It's,
you know, me and Josh are two good friends.
Do you have characters?
Yeah, I guess so. They don't really repeat, but there's definitely, you know, they're all from the same family, you know. They all have obviously the big nose. Everybody notices. I'm the big nose artist, if in case you're wondering. Everybody seems to notice that from me, my work. But it's definitely like a cartoonish kind of style, and you know.
Is there some type of inspiration for that, or is this just out of your mind?
Yeah, but I think a lot of it comes from those old style cartoons and comics that I read as a kid, and I still read comics. I'm a huge comic fan, so a lot of it comes from comic books. That's why it's on the cartoony side. That stuff interests me. And it never really interests me to get that real lifelike style of art. I always thought, you know, a photograph can do that too.
Exactly.
So I always try to put something more of myself into it, you know. Yeah.
Some of that realistic stuff's kind of cool, but you're saying,
No, nothing against it at all.
It's just not your style.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people do amazing things with it and, you know, more power, all the power in the world to them. That stuff's great, you know. But just for me, I always like to put a little something more of myself, and this has always been an interest, like a cartoony comic book kind of character. So yeah.
Do you have are there any artists that, like, some of your favorites, people that inspire you?
My biggest influence, probably one of them, is Ralph Steadman. He's the one that did Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and did all the stuff with Hunter Thompson, and he's done a lot of stuff with Rolling Stone and you know, lots of magazines, book covers, and he's done his own books too.
Probably my favorite piece from him, or one of my favorites, he did an album cover for a band called Ambrosia.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it was a great one. The one on the island there.
Yep.
Yeah, the one-man band kind of.
I like that one an awful lot.
That's a classic. Yeah. I do too. I love that one.
So he's probably tops of the top.
Yeah. I actually, he had a big show here in the States, probably for the first time in a long time. It was in New York, and it was funny because it was last summer. Me, Josh Hines, and Will Cronenberger, both from Bass Invaders there, we all went up to see Radiohead in the summer of, I think it was August of like 2017 maybe. And I found out while I was up there that Ralph Steadman was coming back.
Yeah.
Going to have this big show in like September, like the month after we were there. And I went all the way back up the next month to see it.
Yeah.
I couldn't miss it. You know, it was like over 100 pieces of Ralph Steadman work. So.
Did you meet him? Was he there?
No, I didn't get to meet him. They had like a small private opening for probably friends and stuff. But I did find out, this is probably relevant, he's going to have a show in Lexington, February of 2019.
Really?
And it's at the University of Kentucky there.
I have a feeling you're going to be there.
I will probably be there. Probably more than once. Yeah. Yeah.
So
and I'm hoping, it'd be great to find out if he's going to be there for that.
That'd be nice to meet him, wouldn't
it? Yeah, would. That'd be a dream come true.
Yeah. So that's kind of like your rock star.
He's definitely my rock star.
Yeah.
I have a stack of books by him, probably four feet high, you know? I got just about everything I can get my hands on.
So give me a couple more.
There's an artist working. His name's Joe Soren. He's a big influence too. He's got a similar, real painterly, but cartoony stretched figure kind of look that I like. And let's see, I love Barry McGee. He's kind of a graffiti artist. He goes by Twist. You may know him. And then there's two brothers from Brazil. I'm going to butcher their names, but they go by, basically it translates to the twins in Portuguese. They're twin brothers. Os Zemos, I think it's pronounced. And they paint these big yellow figures, cartoon figures, on like the size of buildings.
You know, I think I've seen that before.
You probably have, because their stuff really stands out. Some of these things are like 10 stories high.
Yeah.
You know, they're huge, and they do them all over the world on the sides of buildings.
Yeah.
But they started out as a graffiti artist in Brazil.
Yeah.
And they just grew and grew. They started having shows here in like the early 2000s. And it was funny, when I went up to see the Ralph Steadman show, they were having a show in New York at the same time. And Wayne White was having a show. So I got to see three shows, and it made the trip worth it.
You're like, why did I move out of this area?
Yeah. And it's funny, because now all three of those artists are having shows down here. Wayne White's got a show going on right now in Nashville that I went and saw. Ralph Steadman has the show coming up in Lexington. And the two twin brothers have a show coming up in Nashville in, I don't have a date for that yet. They haven't announced it, but it's in 2019.
Yeah.
So now they're all going to be down here. But Hey, that's great though that it's coming here. You know, stuff like that is coming around here. Yeah. So that's a big opportunity for anybody to go see any of those shows. So
that's very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like the Stedman one, and you know the twins there. I mean, that's they're really. You know, the Ralph Stedman show is just a rare opportunity to see something like that.
Well, I mean, out of those, probably most folks, if they don't know the name, they know the work.
They've probably seen it. I mean, his stuff's been all over Rolling Stone for so long, and the stuff with Hunter Thompson. Yeah. And I mean, he's got ties to Kentucky, you know?
Yeah.
There's a guy in Lexington. His name's Joe Petro. He does prints. He makes prints for Ralph Stedman, does screen printing.
Yeah.
So... That's, I'm sure that's how the Lexington thing happened, you know? Yeah.
Well, we threw out some names for people to check out in case they don't know who it is. They just punch those in and go check out their work.
Yeah.
Kind of see some of the work that inspires you, some of your favorites.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned the A-frame earlier. You're doing a little something with the A-frame these days. What's going on there?
I do. They're usually part of the gallery hops that they have around Bowling Green. And, you know, they have rotating shows, you know. I think they do it like every few months. Mm-hmm. They do about six or seven of them throughout the year, whatever, for the gallery hop at least. And, you know, they're part of that. And, you know, all the galleries in town usually are somehow involved in that. But I've had a few shows through them. And I actually knew Alex's wife, Sheikla, first. They approached me to be the first art show they had
nice.
A couple of years ago when they first opened for their grand opening. And
nice.
It fell into the gallery hop. Mm-hmm. And, that was the first one they did. And I had their first art show there. And it really went really, really well. You know, it was super. Mm-hmm. And I've had one, you know, every year since. And but I do t-shirt designs for them. You know, I've designed some t-shirts. And me and Alex have printed up some t-shirts. And then I do posters because they have, it's a music venue too, in a bar. And they have bands come through and play. And, you know, for a while there, we were trying to keep up the pace with the posters for all the shows, or at least, you know, some of the bigger ones. And but he does screen printing, so he can make posters. We can make t-shirts and other things. He just got an old letter press where you can print.
Old school.
Old school.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of in the process of learning that.
That's
kind of
cool.
That could be fun. Yeah. Could use that for posters and prints and invitations or something. So that's a little down the road still. We have to figure it all out.
Do you have anything coming up that we need to know about? Any shows, any showings?
Yeah. I don't have an art show myself, but we for Small Business Saturday, I think that's November 24th, after Thanksgiving there, that weekend after Thanksgiving, you have Black Friday and then Small Business Saturday. Sheikla puts these craft market fairs together, you know. She gets different artists, crafty people, you know, jewelry,
come in, set up booths, sell whatever.
They all set up booths, and it's going to be from 2 to 8 on the 24th of November.
2 to 8, 24th of November, that's a Saturday, Saturday, November 24th, 4th, 2 to 8.
At the A-frame
here in BG.
It's over on Center Street,
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some of those prints that I made for you and probably some t-shirts.
Again, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
And we'll have some t-shirts, the prints, and Alex has been making these kind of like mirrored glass pieces. They have like geometric patterns on glass with like gold leaf and pretty interesting, pretty intricate stuff, you know? And
I haven't seen that. I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's something fairly new he's been doing. He's been working on it the last, you know, I guess he took it originally. It was like a sign to make signs, you know, like some of those beer signs you see in bars, mirrored signs.
Yeah.
That's how he kind of learned it. And then he's been making these smaller pieces with like geometric patterns and pretty nice stuff. It's really nice to see. And
that's cool. The cool stuff still going on over there as far as art.
Definitely an intricate, involved process, but they come out pretty nice.
All right. So everybody, Saturday, November the 24th, 2 to 8 at the A-frame. Write that on a calendar. Get over there and check that out. Because at that point, people start doing some Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
If folks want to put something cool on their wall, get something original, man.
That is true.
Go out to the box store and buy some plastic frame thing, don't do that.
No, nope. You don't need another vase of flowers from, you know, Walmart.
No.
You need something original, something different.
Something original, something that came from out here in South Central Kentucky.
That's right.
You're supporting the local art scene when you do that.
Supporting the local art scene, the A-frame. Yeah.
That's
everybody.
Right. Now, we mentioned a little bit earlier, you have a few places you have the Facebook where folks could check stuff out. Mm-hmm. Nothing really for sale there, but you're saying you can go and check that out?
No, but if you did want, you were interested, you could definitely get in touch with me and we could work something out.
Okay.
Commission,
All right.
Feel free. Send me a message.
Everybody jump on Facebook. Check out Matt Simone or Simone.
Simone.
Gotcha. And check out the artwork. And if you're interested, they'll just contact you on Facebook.
Okay? Sure.
But you're all about, hey, if you got something in mind, we can work together. Maybe we can do something, work something out.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's about it, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Did we get everything in? Is there anything that you want to send out there?
Always great to talk to you, Tommy.
Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to say to wrap it up? Anything in particular? You like eggs? Anything?
I love eggs. But no, I think we're good.
What's your favorite meal?
My favorite, I love pizza. I'm a New York guy, man.
Yeah.
I miss pizza. New York pizza.
Yeah.
I miss it.
So pizza down here in Kentucky, you're like, well, I won't starve. But.
No. You know, pizza's like sex. It's always good, even when it's bad. But there's definitely, yeah, some
what's
New
the
York
best,
pizza.
What's the best New York pizza? Is it just New York pizza, or is there a particular?
There's a place in Brooklyn, Lombardo's. That's, yeah, pretty up there. But
Lombardo's in Brooklyn, yeah, that's the place to go for a slice.
Yeah. I mean, but really, you can go to any pizza place in New York. If it looks like it's been there a while, the dirtier, the greasier,
yeah,
probably the best it's going to be, you know?
So what do you like on your pizza?
Truthfully, I'm a meatball guy, but...
Meatballs on pizza?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they slice them up, right?
Yeah,
they're not just like rolling around on there.
No, slice them up, but you know... Truthfully, you know, white pizza with broccoli is amazing, and, you know, pepperoni pizza is always great. I'm a pizza guy. I can just eat about anything, man,
all right,
as far as pizza.
Again, one more time, if somebody's making a trip to Brooklyn, where do they need to go?
You need to go to Lombardo's. And if you can go to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, too, that's like Little Italy now.
Uh-huh.
There's places all over. You can get all kinds of food up there. Arthur Avenue in Bronx.
What should we not do to keep us from getting our ass beat up in New York?
New York's not bad anymore. It's like Disneyland up there.
It really is.
I mean, compared to what it was, you know, even in the 90s, I mean, it's totally changed. I mean, obviously, there's so many people there. It's such a huge population.
Yeah.
It's going to have more crime than anywhere else because there's 10 million people there.
Yeah.
But it's not anywhere near what it used to be like. If you're going up there and think you're going to see the Warriors, like that movie from, you know, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's.
I think that you may have just done a commercial for the tourism scene up in New York.
It's totally changed. It's not like that at all.
All right.